road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to The Drive. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for all your feedback, for listening. I really appreciate different thoughts that come out of these conversations for all involved. And I hope that something today will lead to something cool that you do in your classroom, or something fun you try in your practice, or just an idea. The goal is to spark some thinking to help us all just become better at teaching using technology or different things. And today, I just, one of the things that I'm really interested in as a teacher, from a teacher point of view, is the model of gamification. I think it's a really interesting model to incorporate into the classroom. And a lot of people might look at this and say, well, that's behaviorism or something like that. You know, we're just trying to guide the behavior and manipulate the learning and manipulate the student. And there's probably a little bit of truth to that. But I think also into how some elementary school classrooms are set up, where kids do things to get tickets, and at the end of the week they can cash in their tickets to get, you know, an eraser or a pencil or something like that. And so it's similar to that in that it becomes a game inside your classroom where you can do some different things. So how does all of that look? Well, I gamified my calculus class last year, and I was only able to do it for one semester before I transitioned into becoming a full-time student again. And so there were some things that I did that I would do differently. There would be things I'd tweak and some things I'd drop. But some basic things are this: students get choice in how they can do their assignments and in what they learn. And so with math, the choice is limited in that there's a progression you have to follow. Like, you have to be able to do certain steps of math before you can do certain other steps of math, okay? And so that made the choice part challenging. So how I decided to work with that was, in my mind, determining the homework for the students. You could either do problems 5 through 20, or you could create a learning teaching video of three different problems, or you could whatever. And so I tried to give students choice in how they could do their homework to show to me that they understood what was going on. So that was one way that I tried to handle the choice aspect. If you're in a class where you have a little bit more latitude, there may be some foundational things that occur that you have to have the students know right off the bat. And then after that, maybe they have choice in how they get to the end. I know what I helped to teach a class this summer that we, at the college, it was a graduate class and it was an online course, so we gamed it. And one of the things that we did in that course was, there was some foundational thinking that the professor was actually leading the course. There was some foundational thinking that she wanted our students to have. And then after that foundational thinking was done, students then had choice in the lessons that they chose to do next. So not everybody went through, the first three lessons. That was required. But then after that third lesson, students had a choice of four other lessons to take. And out of those four lessons, they needed to actually get three of them fully completed. They could do all four, they didn't have to. And once all three of those lessons were completed, they went to another level. And inside that level, then, now that they had their foundational structure built, inside of level two, students had, I think, eight lessons to choose from. And it didn't matter the order that they did them. And it sounds chaotic, and it is, but it's actually really, really amazing to see in real life. When you give students this kind of choice, they have the opportunity now to start owning that learning, to control it, because they're picking to do the things that they want to do. And it's just a completely different dynamic than you telling a student, you have to do this. Yes, there were some things that we told the students, like you have to do these foundational things, but then after that, the choice is all yours. And so that can be hard because you're relinquishing some of the control of the teacher, which is difficult because as teachers, that's hard for us to do sometimes. Inside of my classroom, it was a mastery classroom and it was a flipped classroom. So the students had the opportunity to get their learning, like I already had all of their learning ready to go. And they could get that through internet, through YouTube, through Nomia at any time. And they could move at their own rate. And with the mastery learning, all that said was that in order for the student to move on to the next quest, I call them quests in calculus, in order for students to move on to the next quest, they had to get at least an 80% on all work that was completed on the current quest. And it seemed to work out really well. And students weren't punished for receiving a poor grade. If they didn't understand the material or struggled with the material or had a hard time with the material, they had a complete 100 chance, completely 100% free redo. And I like that because when you play a game, like I love to play Plants vs. Zombies. In fact, every morning I enjoy playing the Pinata Party. And the thing with that is, if I lose on the pinata party, I'm not penalized inside the game. My hands aren't shocked. My iPad doesn't shut down. There's no consequence that's a punishment. It just asks me if I lose the pinata party, do I want to retry? And inside of Plants vs. Zombies, I need a little bit of money to be able to purchase my retry. And that's it. I get the same level all over again. I get to start fresh from scratch. I get to try a different strategy. I get to do the whole thing again without penalty. So if the level doesn't get harder, it doesn't get easier, it stays the exact same, it doesn't average my two scores, it doesn't do that kind of stuff. And I really like that. I like that style of learning where kids can learn and not be punished if they learn at different rates. And so this kind of meets that need where, you know, yes, we have to give a standard education to students, but when you look inside the dynamic of your classroom, you don't have standard kids. They don't all come in at the exact same place educationally, none of them. And so when you game your class, it provides an outlet for you to meet your kids' needs where they are and allow them to learn kind of at a pace that's comfortable for them. Now, one of the issues that you're probably thinking of right now, especially in a high school class or in an elementary class, like you have to go through certain objectives, learning objectives, because it's going to be on the tested material at the end in the spring, and what happens if they don't get there. And that is a great question. I can't answer honestly how I would handle that, because for me, what the course that I did it in was calculus, and I told the kids, look, by May 1st, which was, it's getting close to graduation and senior finals, so by May 1st, we have to be here at X and such point, which for me was chapter 9. We have to be two sections into chapter 9. And if you're not, then there will be a negative impact on your grade, because this is what you have to learn in this course. And so that was kind of how I approached it, where I put that time deadline on them. The other thing that I did that I think was helpful was I also tried to pace the kids out so that they knew exactly where they were and were they safe or not. So I would always have on the board, know, in order to successfully be on pace at the semester, you need to be right here. And each week I would have a list of sections that the kids needed to be close to working on. And probably 90% of the kids were on those sections. There was a couple of kids that were a little behind, and then there was a group of kids that was almost a whole chapter ahead. And so the classroom atmosphere was pretty dynamic. Very busy. I hardly ever had a chance to sit down, and you just bop around from person to person. So the other thing that is really cool about gamification that the students really liked, and it took them a long time to get into this part, so maybe I didn't implement it correctly or overwhelmed them at the beginning and they shut down and didn't listen, but we built an economy so students had money to spend, and they earned money by just doing what they were supposed to be doing. You did a homework assignment in some fashion, showed me that you learned this particular section, you got points. And if you did paper and pencil homework, you got 1 point. But if you did the homework in such a way that you shared it with the world through YouTube or a blog or something like that, you could get 2 or 3 points depending on what you did. If you taught it to another classmate. So I tried to build in all these different ways that students could work through these points and get points. And then I had items in a market that they could buy. Now, this is where you need to know your kids. So I know high school kids. And I know high school kids hate tests. Most students probably hate tests. So I tried to set up in my market items for students that they would want to purchase. And a lot of them had to do with what they could do on a test. For example, one of the items that they could purchase, and I gave all these items really fun, you know, fun, clever names. One of the items that students could purchase was the opportunity to ask the teacher a question on the test. And the more specific the question, the more specific the answer. So if a student just came up and asked some general question, I would give them a general answer. But if they actually drilled down and gave me a super specific question, I gave them a super specific answer. They loved that. The opportunity to talk with another student during a test in the hall for 5 minutes. So they leave their tests in the classroom, they go into the hallway, and they can communicate for 5 minutes. The opportunity to work in a small group together on a test. Now, all three kids had to be able to buy that one item. But then they could all three use that item together to work on the test. And so I try to build some things in that way. The homework pass, the quiz pass, some things like that I tried to put in there as well. And I tried to make it in such a way that kids, you know, wanted to earn some points to be able to purchase those goodies. In hindsight, I had named all these things and scattered them all throughout, and that was probably not the best way to do that. I probably should have picked a theme at the beginning of the year and tried to stick with it, like a Doctor Who theme or a Star Wars theme or a zombie apocalypse theme, and stuck with that. The other thing that I wish I had done was created a game board for every student to have in their math folder, or maybe even a game board to put on the wall to track each class as they, you know, as they successfully completed each part of their journey. So they could see there's a definite ending here. There's a beginning, there's an ending. I know exactly what I have to do to get there. And so those are a couple things that I would do a little bit differently. So I think gamification in the classroom is really, really a neat thing. I think gamification in general is, but there's such an attitude of gaming with your iPhone and all the different apps that you have on it and all the different things that you can do and all the different games you play. And just think about what you do in real life. Do you shop to get your airline miles? You're being gamed. Do you go back to your favorite restaurant, your favorite sandwich shop because you get a hole punch? You're being gamed. Does the place where you get your oil changed give you a punch card for you to return? You're being gamed. It's out there all around us. It is all around us. And so I think that, you know, we've just got this culture of gaming, and it's not bad. I don't think it's bad. And so think about that for your classroom. Think about maybe, you know, what could you do to bring some game into the classroom? Star Wars is coming out here really soon. Maybe you put a Star Wars theme. I don't know. What do you think? So that's the drive today. I really appreciate you listening. If you have feedback, as always, I love feedback. We all get better through feedback. We all get better as we learn. We all get better as we talk. And I appreciate what you do for students. I have 3 students in public schools. they love their teachers, and they're impacted every day by their teachers. And if you're listening to this and you teach, or even if you don't, you make a difference every day. You make a difference in somebody's life. So thank you for doing that, and don't forget to just be brilliant.